recording you're about to listen to consists of several sections. The first is today's Daf Yomi from the 12th cycle of the International Daf Yomi, followed by a brief review that allows you to listen to the entire Daf in between 5 to 10 minutes. That is followed by the same exact Daf from the previous cycle 7.5 years ago, in which there were different people attending and there's a different ambience. Choose the one you enjoy the most, or perhaps listen to one and then listen to the other for review. Enjoy. Today's Daf of the Sechet Bechorot, brought to you by Ben Komot Yerushalayim, is Daf Lamed Chet. And we were holding smack bang in the middle of it. So we're talking about over there a skull that had been missing a piece. And the question is, what is a large enough piece to make it a non-tumas ohel skull? So it will only be a matame, like any other bone, but maga. And there we had a machlokas, Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. So according to Beit Shammai, the shear was a drill bit. Now, we're not clear about what that drill bit is, because we mentioned yesterday, but we're going to get into it today. There's really two drill bits that are used as a shear. One is a brain surgeon's drill, which of course is much smaller than a builder's drill, and it's not clear here. We're assuming right now that we're talking about the larger drill, the builder's drill. And Basil says it's the size that would be enough to cause death if it had happened to a living person. And yesterday, Rav Chisda wanted to know, what does that mean? What is the shear according to Beit Hillel? And Rav Tachlifa Bar Avadimi told him it's the shear of a sela coin. And there was just this knockout punch, which is the question that Rav Chisda asked him. Ole Magdea Gadosh Elishka is the equivalent of a sela nironit. Therefore, and again, of course, we're assuming that the sela is the sela nironit, and we're assuming that the magdeach is the magdeach of the lishka, but making those assumptions, it turns out that the shear of a magdeach is the shear of a sela. Therefore, we assume that that's the standard we're referring to. And therefore, Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel end up saying the same thing, and this was absolutely crazy. As a result of which, and this, of course, was the reason we got into this whole discussion yesterday, because it's irrelevant to Bechorot, as a result of which we said it must be that there's a difference between the shear of a magdeach, where it would include magdeach plus the extra area that would allow the drill bit in and out, because otherwise the drill bit will get stuck. So basically, when you drill, where you normally make it a little bit larger, and then you pull out the drill, so that is called magdeach v'chisumo. Okay, what does that have to do with anything? Because the entire sugya was brought up yesterday by the question of what is the size of a hole that goes through the ear. And we talked about the shear of a kashina. The question is, does that mean the size of a kashina? Does it mean the size that allows a kashina to pass through? So Ravuna Agadol didn't have an answer to it, but he said, I have heard a similar case. And that's how we got to this. The similar case was that the shear of the magdeach, and I'm assuming it would be the same as the kashina, so that the shear of the magdeach was the shear that allows the magdeach to pass easily through. That's how we got to it. And that was the answer that Rav Chisda suggested on his own question to Rav Tachlifa, that we're talking about a magdeach plus the area that allows it to go through, the chisumo. And that was the last thing that we had learned yesterday, so that when Rav Chisda, and just to review on the second line, when Rav Chisda suggested, Shema, maybe you mean a magdeach v'chisumo, and Rav Tachlifa, with a loud sigh of relief, said, what do you mean, maybe, baby, for sure? Because otherwise he would really have been stuck. And I'm telling you, and this is where we're up to, tzarich litalot aleha, you can absolutely bet your bottom dollar on this. Kechizkia avi ikesh. We want to know somebody they relied on 100% for a testimony, despite the fact that what he said sounded absolutely crazy, and they figured out what it meant, and was completely reliable, nobody ever argued on it. Well, I know you're thinking that I'm just grabbing onto this and telling you, yeah, for sure. But they could have said the same thing about Chizkiya v'Ikesh. Yeah, for sure. But they actually said, yeah, for sure. And what was that referring to? He was made, unfortunately, we have Barnea here, so we're going to have to get into Barnea's neighborhood. Avikesh. He was made Lifnei Rebbe Gamliel B'Yavne. And there's no question that Barnea was in that very room, and will bring you a piece of pottery with Rebbe Gamliel's signature to Avikesh. $80. Sha'amar. Mishum. Rebbe Gamliel has a king. Yes, Barnea. Kosh she'ein lo toch. What he said was something completely crazy. I mean, when you hear this statement and you're sitting scratching your head, I mean, this is off the wall. Listen to what he said. Kosh she'ein lo toch b'kli cheres. Anything that doesn't have a base kibul, then ein lo achorayim l'chalika. It does not have a rear for making distinctions in Tuma. Because sometimes there is a distinction between a kli that became Tame from the back and a kli that became Tame from the front. But the only way that there is going to be such a nafkamina is if it has a clear-cut container space. Then that's the front and the other side is the back. But if it's, let's say, a flat skillet-like affair, there's no front and back. It's basically all one thing. Now, this doesn't make sense on every level. So let's start with level number one. Level number one is a kli cheres is not mekabel tuma unless it has the base kibul. That's where it's mekabel tuma, if it has a toch. But, I mean, forget about that. Whoever heard of a difference between front and back and a kli and so on, if it's really mekabel. Oh, the whole statement made no sense. I'm telling you, we made sense of it. We sat there. We figured it out. You can figure out what I said, that yes, it's talking about a magdeach v'chisumo, and don't think that that's far off. Now let's take a look at the lotion over there. So what he said was, it has no achorayim l'chalika, and therefore, nitmatocho, nitmagabo, nitmagabo, nitmatocho, and it's all one thing. What? What were you talking about? Klicheres? Klicheres needs a toch. Otherwise, it's not even become tamei at all. Bitocho tola rachmana. It says beferish, v'cho klicheres asher yipol miyam el tocho. If there's no tocho, so then eat le toch. Eat me le. If there is a toch, it's mekabel tuma, as it says in the pasuk. But let le toch, lo eat me le. How would it become tamei at all without a toch? Your statement makes no sense. Omer of Yitzchak Bar Avi. Well, let's make sense of it. So, Achika Omer. What it must, I mean, look, they accepted this testimony in Yavne. Nobody was chelik on this testimony. Obviously, when something is accepted in Yavne, it's already gone through Barnea's questioning, which means that if there was anything that could have been questioned, it's already been asked.
I'm asked, why are they using the terms of front and back inside and outside?
Because if it doesn't have an inside, I didn't think it was really useful to say inside and outside. There is no container area.
There's no inside, there's no outside.
Yes, it's referring to a flat thing, so I didn't want to say inside and outside. I mean, the Gemara uses the inside and outside, but okay. It's a little confusing when you're trying to explain it has no inside. Amri Yitzchak Bar Avin, I'll tell you what it means. It means, kosha ein lo toch, in a kli cheres, then the equivalent kli in a kli shetef, let's assume now that kli shetef is a reference to kli eitz, asher lo yishatef. So over there, it's a difference between the kli cheres yishaver and a kli eitz yishatef b'mayim. So the equivalent kli in a kli shetef also would not have an achorayim l'chalika. And therefore, in the klishetef, nitmatocho, nitmagabo, nitmagabo, nitmatocho. What kind of crazy explanation is that? So why are we talking about a klisheres, for God's sake? Just say, a kli, regular klishetef, that doesn't have a toch, doesn't have achorayim l'chalika. I mean, if ever I heard a roundabout crazy explanation, if a klisheres doesn't have a toch, then if it weren't a klisheres, but it was a klishetef, what kind of funny statement is that? So, lama l'mitzvah of klisheres. Don't even bring up the klisheres. And simply state, nema, the following. Kol she'ein lo toch b'klishetef, What is going on? Now this statement is actually a very meaningful one, what Chizkiyahu HaNevi'i Kesh said. And he was coming to teach me something, a kamashmalan, that in the event that this kli, yesh lo toch, then we mean to compare it to a kli cheres. Namely, just like a kli cheres, the din is that if nitma tocho nitma gabo, so the only way to be matami a kli cheres is by touching it in the inside, or the airspace of the inside. So, but of course there's no airspace by kli shetef, so we're just talking about an actual maga to the inside. So just like by kli cheres, if the inside is tame, then the whole thing is tame. But if the inside isn't tame, lo nitma tocho, lo nitma gabo, the same din would be true about a kli shetef in general. Namely, nitma tocho, nitma gabo. Lonit matocho, but if the inside of the kli wasn't tame, then the outside could not be tame either. What? This is even crazier. Who ever heard of such a thing? A kli is not makabel tuma from the outside. I mean, a kli cheres, I understand it. Kli cheres is a special situation. Bishlama kli cheres. Okay, over there, the Torah says specifically, kol kli cheres asher yipol meyem el tocho yitma. But kli shetef, where is there a din of tocho by kli shetef? This is, I mean, you're getting crazier by the minute. You're trying to explain an edus of Chizkiyahu HaNevi'i Kesh, and man, oh man, are you ikesh in this? I mean, you're just getting crazier and crazier, painting yourself into a worse corner all the time. Now you've really done it. So first, you tried getting away with this craziness. We're really talking about a kli shetef, we're only comparing it to kli cheres. Let me say, why are we comparing it to kli cheres? To tell me a standard halacha that a kli shetef is only going to be makabel tuma from the inside, which is contradictory to all of the dinim of tumas kelim. I mean, now what are you going to say? Says the Gemara, this is the whole point. Ibituma dioraita hachinami, 100%. You see, now you've gotten to the point. If we're talking about something that could be metami akli midioraita, so that's it. Only an avatuma can be metami akli midioraita. An avatuma, obviously a klishetef, has no distinction, front, back, inside, outside. Either you touch it, you don't touch it, doesn't matter where you touch it. Either it's tome or it's tar. If it's any part of tome, the whole thing is tome. But there's a special case of tuma. And that special case of tuma is tumat mashkin. Tumat mashkin, which is entirely a gezeira derabbanan, because midioraita, only an ava tuma can be metame kelim. Mashkin, by definition, can never be an ava tuma. Unless they're not really mashkin, they're just liquids, but they're not mashkin. For instance, the urine of a zav, saliva of a zav, semen. It's possible for there to be liquids that are metame, akli, but then they would be metame zanavatuma. Now, people could get confused, you know. I mean, if your hands are tame, that means that you didn't wash them for Netilat Yadayim. There's a big difference from being a Zov and having some urine on your hand and touching a Kli and now being Matamit Diyoraita and not properly washing your hands or something. I mean, that's a big difference. Or maybe just wiping your mouth and having some saliva and now being Matamit Diyoraita a Kli. So because of that, that is such a dangerous situation where you're going to end up being Matamit Truma and Kachim. God only knows. So the Chachomi made a Takonah. The takana was, and here is why we were so ikesh about finding an explanation to this. The brilliant point is that we want you to understand that we're looking for a model. Let's talk it out first outside of Gemara, because this is the end result of this thing. We're looking for a model. To take the normal model of a kli shetef and to say, somebody that touched with wet, whatever it was, a wet cup of water, I don't care, he got a kli wet, he's going to be matami the kli. Now, if we would do that, then people would cease to realize that there's a difference between a tuma d'oraita and a tuma d'rabbanan. Because the fact is, since this entire thing is a gzera d'rabbanan, because of the fact that maybe he does have a little saliva on his finger, so they will end up assuming that we can always take it to be a tuma d'oraita, and they will burn truma based on it, or they'll burn kachim based on it. Of course, it will be an iser gomer. So therefore, what we really needed to do was make a distinction that everybody would know. Okay, what kind of distinction we could make? Could we say, if you touch with water, then only the handle is tameh? I mean, that would be very weird. Where is there such a halacha in the Torah? So what we did was we said, wait, there is a wonderful model. The wonderful model is kli cheres. That kli cheres is weird. If you touch it from the outside, it's not going to be the time of the whole kli. Let us make a kli shetef that was touched by bashki that are only tamei min rabbanan to be matame kli. Pretend that it's the equivalent of a kli cheres, so that if you touch it outside, you won't be matame, it's inside. And everybody's going to say, what the heck is this? Oh, it's that special mashkin derabbanan where we treat the kli shetef as if it's a semi-kli cheres. Then we both have a model. The rabbanan never just creates something out of whole cloth. So we take a model. That explains the strange phraseology of Ben Ikesh's insistence. That's why he's called Ben Ikesh. He insists on comparing a kli shetef to a kli cheres. Oh man, this is the mother of all the cases. Huh? So if that's the case, now everything adds up. So now let's take a look and see that inside. Says the Gemara, well, obviously, if we'd be talking about Tumah Deoraita, so then the Avi Ikesh would be, I mean, absolutely the craziest statement in the world. But we're talking about Tumat Mashkin Rabban. And now let's try to work all of that out. Starting with the Mishnah and Kalim. Kli shnitma achorav b'mashkin, where you have a kli that was bekabel tuma midirabona, and these mashkin touch the outside of the kli, then the din curiously is that only the outside is tummy, but the inside of the kli, the ogen of the kli, which is the rim, the ozen of the kli, which is a large handle, or the yadav, parts that stick out like from a pot where you hold the two sides. All of those things remain tahor. But on the other hand, if nitma tocho, then we treat it like the kli cheres, then nitma tocho, the whole thing becomes tameh. What is the logic for this? Logic is that, look, midoraita, there's no way for ochlin to ever be batameh kli, or for mashkin ever to be batameh kli, because they can't be an avatun. Se'in ochlin batameh kli, ve'in mashkin batameh kli. However, the Rabbanan said, look, people get confused between liquids and between mashkin. I mean, urine is not mashkin, but it is a liquid. And therefore, it's easy to be confused about the tuba. The Rabbanan were there for gozer because of mashke, of azov and azova, and because of that, they gave it a tuma. But they didn't want to give it the tuma of a normal klisheta. And shavur Rabbanan tuma diklicheres. But they didn't want to give it the same din. Lo shavur Rabbanan, the same din as a tuma deoraita. Did nafshe of its own set, that is to say, the set of klisheta. Because of the Rabbanan and Hekera, they wanted to make it clear that people would know that this is only the Rabbanan, and therefore if it became Tameh, they wouldn't think that you could be Seimich on this to actually burn Trum and Kodashim. So, well, wait a minute, but then, I mean, even if Ein Lo Toch, we should make the same Heker. I mean, if you're telling me that we need to make a Heker, so why don't we just make the heker between front and back? Why do we have to make the heker between inside and outside? In other words, why should we come up with this thing? You're telling me we're going to treat the inside different than the outside. But the truth is, in a kli shetef, there's no such concept as inside and outside. So therefore, we should make it a heker across the board that at least matches up to kli shetef. No. Because again, look, we're looking for a model. We found our model. No way that we can use the model of a kli cheres where there's no toch of the kli cheres. Therefore, the model breaks down, and we're left with the stam tuma de rabona. I will say people will get mixed up. They won't get mixed up. Because kivan da avdu hakera v'yesh lo toch, everybody knows that were I handling something like a frying pan, then the inside wouldn't have been tummy. So now because I'm handling a skillet, so now they're going to get mixed up. They understand, oh, chaval, if this were a frying pan, I wouldn't have to worry, my pancakes wouldn't have been tummy, you see. So they'll remember that since b'yesh lo toch, they will also understand, it's yediyah, that ein lo toch, it would be the same thing, so that it's a derabbanan.
What's the difference between a skillet and a frying pan?
A skillet is flat.
Flat cut.
No sides.
No sides.
Yeah. I mean, there are skillets that they make with these homey little sides, but those are chickens. Human chickens who are afraid to let the oil drip over the edge.
We're not talking about a griddle. We're talking about a skillet as opposed to
griddle. I'm not going to argue with a Canuck when it comes to, you know, maple syrup
and fine bacon.
Right? Yeah. I mean, if you say it's a griddle, it's a griddle.
Okay, so. Pancakes on the side. No, I just want to make sure I know what I'm talking about.
Well, you want to make sure I know what I'm talking about. I
understand what Rebbe's talking about. Let's put it
out. Very good. All right. So, now wait a minute. But there's another problem over here. A klishetev, I'm assuming when you say klishetev, you're talking about what the Torah calls a klishetev. The chol kli eitz yishatev, that's eitz. Problem is, a kli eitz that you try to use as a griddle, but no, that's not the problem. The problem is that a kli eitz is compared, it appears in the same pasuk, as sak. So it says over there, kli eitz, obeged, or osak. No. So then that means it has to be able to hold something in it. But if it's flat, it can't really hold something in it. It's not metaltel malevere kam. You can't fill it up like you could a sack. And therefore it's bechlal not mekabel tumi. You have another problem over here. So it doesn't have to be dumya de sak bina. Ma sak mitaltel malevere kam. So to the only type of kli eitz that would be metaltel, that would be metame, has to be metaltel malevere kam. Ah, but there's another issue over here. We are talking about flat kelim that, believe it or not, when they're made out of wood, they're flat kelim. I wasn't really going to make griddle on them. No, I was not going to make pancakes on this flat piece of wood. Actually, I was going to sit down on this flat piece of wood and then lie down even. And if that's the case, it would be the Kabbal Tuma Midras from Azoth. The rule being that anything that can be mekabel tumas midras is automatically mekabel tumas maga, even though it itself, if it wouldn't be for the midras component, wouldn't be able to be mekabel tumas maga. So now, we figured out half of Tyrus, all just in this figuring out a vikesh. And they don't call it chiskia for nothing. This is tough stuff. No, it has to be something that is, we don't say amod v'nasa malachtena, like the case of the Dali, right? So it's bahanach the chazula midras, so it's talking about a flat piece of wood that can be set on. Wait a minute. So then, now you got a problem, because then the klicheres is also going to be mekabel tuma, even if it's flat. Because if you have a flat klicheres, it doesn't have a beit kibul, so then if it's royal midras, it would be mekabel tuma smaga, even as a klicheres. So then the entire issue now breaks down, because the whole point was finding a model with the equivalent of klicheres. So yochi klicheres nami? No. A midras klicheres. A klicheres is not used for lying on. So the only kind that we use it for is toilet bowl. But that has a beit kibul. So there you go. So a flat klicheres is not used for midras. Rav Papa Omar, Rav Papa says, whew. Okay, now that we've finished this minor discussion about, it's got to be talking about that the drill has room around the side. May I point out that there never was a problem, and that Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel never said the same thing? He was talking about Magdeach Gadol Shanino. I mean, a Magdeach Gadol, that where over there it said, remember, the Mishnah was, piece of wall collapses, leaving a hole between two rooms. It's a ma'or that is not osrei bidei adam. And then the difference between that and the ma'or that is osrei bidei adam is that the osrei bidei adam is a smaller shear. And over there we have a magdeach. Now, what is that shear of magdeach? He just says magdeach. Beit Shammai about the skull said magdeach. He didn't say a magdeach of a lishka. Magdeach of a lishka indeed is bigger. So therefore, there's a big nafkamina. Wait, so you notice you're saying that a normal magdeach is smaller than the magdeach of the lishka, and that would mean that the magdeach of the lishka is like the sela, right? That's what we said before. The magdeach. We said the first, Kemole Magdeach Gadol Shalishka Shehu Kupunyan Haitalki Uchesela Nironit, which Barnea probably has in his wallet.
A
Could you take us out of Punjani Talki and a cell on your own neat, please, just for... Okay, says the Gemara, but that only is true according to Rabbi Meir. Hey, Nichola, Rabbi Meir, what about it according to Rabbonah? What would you say then? Because after all, in the Mishnah and all, it says, the time, the Eze Magdeach Amru, what Magdeach was Beit Shammai referring to when he was speaking about a missing piece of skull? He was talking about a small drill used by brain surgeons. So it's a Magdeach Katan Sharofim. That he's talking about. That is nothing as large as the Magdeach Gadol Shel Lishka. That's what Rabbi Meir said. So fine, according to Rabbi Meir, you can tie in that that's what Rabbi, what Beit Shammai was referring to. But according to the Chachamim say beferish that the reference of Beit Shammai was to the Magdeach Gadol Shel Lishka, in which case we're stuck with the same problem of the Magdeach Shel Lishka being the equivalent of the Sela Nironit. Now, obviously, we have another way out of here, which is that the Sela Nironit is not the same as a normal Sela, which we'll get to. But we have two variables, the size of the drill and the size of the cella. So what is the problem, says Rav Papa, basically, in needing to figure out that it's got to be talking about the area that you drill around to be able to get the bit through? I mean, you haven't even dealt with the issue already. You're jumping to conclusions, and you're making this the equivalent of Chizkia v'Ikej. We've got some pretty simple explanations here. But anyway... what are you going to say according to the Chachamim? Not to mention the fact that even according to Rabbi Meir, it doesn't make sense what you say. Because according to Rabbi Meir, you are tining that Beit Shammai is talking about something that is smaller than Beit Hillel. Because according to Beit Hillel, if it's the size of a cella, now you're saying that Beit Shammai says it only has to be the size of a surgeon's drill, but a surgeon's drill is smaller than a cella, which means that according to Beit Shammai, a smaller hole removes the din of tuma. But then that would make it a kula of Beit Shammai. Now, I got news for you. This does not show up in the list of the kulas of Beit Shammai in Masechet Idiot. And the rule is that if it doesn't show up there, it isn't the case. And therefore, you still haven't helped us very much. Because the Rebbe Meir Minecha, it would then turn out to be Havilei Mikulei Beit Shammai Umichimrei Beit Hillel. And we have a rule, which is Ditznan Tznan, Delotznan, Lotznan. Whatever appeared in Idiot in the list of Kulei Beit Shammai is acceptable. This does not appear. So how do you explain now, without getting on to what Rav Tachlifa was so excited about, comparing himself to Chizkia v'Ikesh, how do you get away with changing the size of the drill in this fashion? Omrim Nachman, okay, let's try the other one. Sela Nironit, being the size of the Mole Magdeach HaGadol. Sela Nironit is what it says. That Sela Nironit is large. And it's, I mean, this guy had a very inflated ego. And so he inflated his coins. That's the size of a Magdeach Gadol. But a typical Sela, normal Sela, is even smaller than a normal Magdeach, even of a doctor's Magdeach, which means that it's Beit Hillel who's giving the small shear, not Beit Shammai who's giving the small shear. And therefore, everything works out fine without getting into the distinction of Magdeach v'Chisumo, and therefore we're really getting back to our original question, which was, does the vetch get stuck in the hole, or does it flow easily through the hole of the ear? We don't know. And now, our dear president will give us a roaring...
Dr. Hele Commissioner.
It's pretty good, except for the last syllable that seemed to have just run out of steam. Uh-oh, now I understand. Haris shel ein. Now, the ris is normally the eyelash, but in this case, it cannot mean the eyelash, as we'll see. And it ends up meaning the lid, the upper lid of the eye. But the Gemara will clarify this. So haris shel ayin, and we have, remember, three different types of pagamim that we spoke about in the ear. We have a pagam of missing material, which is called pagum. We have another type of thing, which is a slit, which is called nizdak. And we have another...
There's no blood.
There's nothing to do with blood. We're not talking about blood. It was in the ear. It was the question. And we have another din of nekev, where no material is missing. There's no slit, but there is a hole because the skin has been pushed to the side. So if any of those things, either there's a nekev, a pagam, or a sedek in the eyelid, we're going to find out, or if in the eye itself there was a dak tevalul, so these are typeset. The truth is that there's machlokis and precisely about what we're talking about over here. But basically, it would appear from the sugya and the halach, we're talking about cataracts. Now, remember that there's different types of cataracts we'd have to take consideration also. One would just be the cornea turns opaque, which makes it impossible for light to get through or damages the light that can get through. Or we have an actual growth of skin-like growth above that can be removed. If you've got laser surgery, it's pretty easy to remove it. So then that is called a dak. The word dak is the word for curtain. So it would mean a curtain over, that's the way Rashi understands. Tivalul, we're going to discuss in the Gemara. Chilazon means a snail. Nachash means a snake. Now, these may be different things. The Gemara's going to question whether that's all one thing. It's just people refer to it in different ways. And then it would be these shapes where the eye, the cornea is now misshapen because the pupil isn't, the iris is not round anymore. We're going to see whether the pupil appears to extend through the iris so that the iris is broken. One of our dozens, you'll love probably. And when we talk about it, tvalul, the word tvalul, the Gemara is going to say, means balul, something that mixes. Something that mixes means that there seems to be a continuation of the white of the eye through the iris. And that is mibalbel. So it's a lavan that is prosek bisira v'nichnas bishachor. So if some of the white of the eye appears to be cutting through, now most learn the sira is the iris. There are some who learn that the sira, which is, this is a little bit of a strange issue over here, which is of course that the pupil of the eye is going to vary in size, because the iris is going to open or shut like it does on a camera. And therefore, do we view separately the pupil from the iris? Is the iris only the iris when it's totally open, the part that is still visible when it opens? Others learn that no, because of that, the sira is actually the colorful edge of the iris, around the iris, that's what's called a sirah. So that's the boat, so to speak, the raft in which the pupil is immersed together with the iris, but it would just mean crossing that line. And then it wouldn't have to go further into an area that we would clearly identify as the pupil. It's now broken into the iris. Okay, that's a machlokes. So if it was posik b'sirah v'nichnas b'shachor, the shachor is the word for the pupil, and of course that varies in size. That would be part of the machlokes. Then it's a mum. But how about if the shachor is nichnas b'lavan? How about if it appears that the pupil is extending into the white of the eye? So, yeah, there is such a mara. So that is not a mum. Why? Because that is something that affects the sclera. But the sclera is really nothing to do with the eye. The sclera is nothing but, as the Gemara is going to say, just fat deposit in which the eye is embedded. But what is the sclera? It's not useful for anything. It's just there basically to protect the entire mechanism of the eye. It's a matrix for the eye, but it's not the eye itself. It's just fatty tissue. And therefore, some even have the girsa, the ein mumin bilavan. There's no such thing as a mumin bilavan at all. And this we're going to refer to later on in the Gemara. Because it looks weird. Ask the Gemara, my haris, what are we referring to when we talk about the ris? Because the ris is usually the hair. Omer of Papa, here clearly it means the outer closure, the wall, tura brode in, in other words, the eyelid. And dak tivalul, turn around on it, a dak that is mishuka, that it seems to be embedded under the surface of the eye. That's a mum. But if it's floating on the eye, it's not a mum. Tzaf in omum. Says, come on, that's crazy. The bright says exactly that. Vatanya, ipcha, the lokasha. That's not a problem. It depends where it's located. Is it located, that's what we think it means. We're going to see that it doesn't mean that. But is it located in the pupil, or is it located on the sclera? What are you talking about? Didn't we just say, ein mumin belavan? There are no mumin in the sclera of the eye. No. Doesn't mean where, it means what color is the cataract. That's the question. One is referring to a dok lavan, and one is referring to a dok shachor. Because actually, as Rabbi Barbachana said, look, Rabbi Yoshi de Minusha told me that if a dak is shachor, then if it's mishuka under the surface, then it's a mum. But if it's floating on the surface, it's not a mum. A lavan that's mishuka is not a mum. If it's tzav, then it is a mum. And the way to remember is the barka. The barka, everybody knows what a barka is, where it's got, where it's jutting out of the eye and it's white. So that reminds you that the barka, which is always white, that is a common ailment, is tzav. And then we have the chilazon, nachash, v'inav. Well, are these two different things? I mean, it's not a snail or a snake. Is it one kind of thing is a snail and the other one is a snake? Or is one thing? So, Ibayalu, chilazon meaning a nachash or chilazon or nachash? Ah, tashma. Rabbi Barbachana said that once Rabbi Yochanan ben Elazar told me that there was this old zaken, he was like a gadol hador that lived in our shchuna, and nobody who's got brains would ever get near this guy because he'll probably sit you down, give you a bechina, talk to you. I never crossed this path in my life, and one time I made the mistake. This is exactly like in Baltimore with Rosh Yeshiva, where people would literally walk around the block in the other direction just not to have to cross path because you know you're going to pay. So it's amazing. I used to walk with guys. Oh, no, no, I'm not going that way. Well, what's the problem? Your grandfather? Well, what's wrong? No, 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 I'll meet you. I'll go the other way. So as he says, Reb Shimon ben Yossi Lacunya, I never walked by him in my life. One time I got caught. And pamachat avarti lefanav, sure enough, Amali, sit down, my boy. Oh, no, I'm thinking to myself. Chef, Benny, Chef, I want you to know something. Now, his problem was that he needed to be matir mum for Shimon ben Yossi Lacunya. He was a kohen, but he couldn't be matir the mum for himself. He had a trust go on him. So he had to get his talmidim to know what the mum was, and then he would have these three hediotas. They would be matir the mum for him. So he has me sit down. He says, come here. This chilazon, okay? Now you better get this straight, kid. It's a mum kavua lishkotalav. Did you get that? By the way, this chilazon is in popular terminology. The chachomim call this a nachash. Okay, so now we see our answer. The nachash chilazon is basically one thing.
It's a little shape.
It's a misshape. It's a machlokas rishonim. We're talking about a red, a type of bloody kind of thing. Or are these growths in the eye? Again, it's not clear about Chokas Ravid, Rambam, and the other Rishonim. Yeah. And this is the Nachash. Now, Avo Pi Shamru, Ein Adam Ro'eh Mumi La'atzmo, and you might want to also know that even though I can't be Matir this myself, Avo Moreh Halachat El Talmidim, he can teach his students, and the Talmidim can then turn around and say, oh, well, look at this. It's a chilazon. Yep, that's the nachash that the Chachamim said. That's a mum kavua lishkot alav. Now, where did I hear that before? Ask the Gemara, but the problem is, we don't trust people that teach you things that they need to be matir for themselves. Kol Talmid Chacham. Shemoreh halacha oba. Talmud Chacham is coming, telling us a halacha that impacts his own life. Im kodem maaseh amra. So if before the question arises, then he said it, then even though it applies to him, shomim lo. But im lav ain't shomim lo. So what do you mean he called me over and showed me it, then he already needed it? No. Iyunami moru b'avimikara. He wasn't showing this on a bechor initially. He wanted to have this halacha known in his Beis HaMidrash, among his talmidim, before the maisa happened. Okay, Ezeu Tavlul says the Mishnah Lavana poseket hasira, but if the shachor goes into the Lavan, then not. So it says the Gemara, but that would mean that the Mishnah is only going on Libet Rabbi Yossi. The Tanya, Lavan v'nichnas b'shachor, Shachor v'nichnas b'lavan, harezemun, divrei Rabbi Meir. According to Rabbi Meir, it would be a tvalul in either direction. It's Rabbi Yossi who says, no way, lavan that is nichnas b'shachor is a mum. But a shachor that's nichnas b'lavan is not a mum, because there's no such thing as mumim in the lavan. Omar Rav, how does Rabbi Yossi know that the sclera is not called the eye? Because it's a pasuk. Dichtiv, yatsa mechelev einemo. When David HaMelech is speaking about Rishoyim, who take for granted, they're so covered with fat, that it's their bulging fatty eyes that allow them to go think that they can get away with murder, do whatever they want to, take whatever they want. And you see that he talks about the bulging fat of their eyes. So that means he's referring to the sclera as the taraba the ena ikri. It's called the fat of the eye. But it is not called eye. It's not called enemo. So therefore, he doesn't say they have bulging eyes. He says they have bulging sclera. And that clearly means to differentiate between the sclera and the eye itself. So enema stomalo ikri. So then why does Rabbi Meir indeed say that the shachar in the lavan is a pagan? Because Rabbi Meir, my time, the word to valul means bilbul. And what's the difference how it's bilbul bal? It's not that I'm saying that it's a pagam in the lavan. I'm saying it's a pagam in the eye because you can't distinguish clearly where the pupil ends. That has nothing to do with what you're saying. So, my lashon tevalu, davar hamibalbel et ha'inayim. And because today Rabbi Barnea was so much in our neighborhood, we will ask him to do the honors.
Sotah Halakha Mishnah.
Continuing on with Mumin. So the mission now continues with Mumim Shiba'ayin, even though these Mumim are not written beferish in the Torah, but we learn them out because, as we're going to see, anything that would pass of a kehain is also considered to be a Mumim in the animal. And since by a Kohen it lists in a ish iver, so that means that anything that causes blindness would be, a disturbance of vision would be considered to be also a mum. Therefore, we have the chavarvar, which are like white marks, little spots in the cornea, and hamayim hakivuim, the constant tearing that make it impossible to see. Or the word kvuim, by the way, appears both, to go on both, chavarvar and mayim. Appears here, and that's definitely only if they're permanent, otherwise it would be a mum over, so it would include something like allergic reactions. And we're going to define in a moment how would we know that it's a kavua. But again, both of these things, some learn, by the way, Rambam learns that the mayim akvuim is a watery-like disturbance of the cornea, but it's no longer smooth, but looks as if you're peering through water, not just tearing. But in any event, it would have to be a mum kavua. Now, how would you know that it was kavua? Koshi shah shmonim yom would have to, the chavar kavua would have to be there for 80 days. And that would mean that you'd have to check it, because otherwise, how would you know it's there for 80 days? Were you sitting there with the animal in front of you for 80 days? But, says Rabbi Chananya ben Atignos, look, if in the course of 80 days you've made three separate bedikas besides the original, looking at it and seeing it's got a chavarvar, so botkinato shalosh pa'amim betok shmonim yom, and you can rely that it didn't disappear and come back. It means it's been there the whole time. That makes it kavua. How can you tell whether the tearing is an allergic reaction, and therefore just a mumover, or whether it's kavua? That already depends on our doing a little test. And the test consists of making certain that the animal has a feed that is unique. It would have to be eating feed in a particular order that grew in a particular kind of field over a particular amount of time. What is the test of this? Now, Lamaisa, we're going to see that the Mishnah, the way it appears, is very different than the way it has to be understood based on the Brayta and the Gemara. But what the Mishnah seems to be saying is like this. Elohim mayim akvuim, what's the test to know that it is a permanent thing, not just an allergic reaction or something, that it's got these watery eyes? If it was ochal lak v'yavesha gishami, or lak v'yavesha shlachim, which seems to mean, again, this is not the way we're going to end up saying, but which seems to mean that if you eat together fresh feed and dried feed of either a field which was grown from gishamim, so that it's not an artificially irrigated field, or a field of shalachim, that is no good. So that if it was eaten together, it's no good. Or if it was first eating the yavesh, and then it ate the lach, that doesn't prove anything. It would have to, and therefore, in omum, you can't rely, it doesn't mean in omum for sure, it just means you can't rely on the fact that it's omum kavua. You would have to first eat lach, and then yavesh, and then everything would be fine, mashma, from either the Beit HaShlachim or the Beit HaBaal. Now, we are going in the Gemara to seriously revise what the Mishnah actually means. Now, this assumption, says the Gemara, that the Chavarvar is dafka shmonim yom in order to be kavua is not true according to everybody. And matnitin mani Rabbi Yehuda. The Mishnah therefore is only going to leave Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanya Chavarvar kavua arba'im yom. The Tana Kama here, Rabbi Meir, he says that a Chavarvar doesn't require 80 days. Only 40 days makes it kavua. Mayim akivuim, that is shmonim yom. Rabbi Meir. It's Rabbi Yehuda who says the Chavarvar is also Kavua Shmonim Yom. Now, the Braita here extends and seems to run differently than the Mishnah. It rises like this. The following is considered to be Mayim Kavuim. Now, we're gonna follow the years over here of the Shita that's a little bit confused. It should say like this. Achal Lach V'Yavesh Beit HaBaal. If it ate Lach, and then Yavesh, and it came from a Beit HaBaal, then you've got yourself a good test. If it's still there, that's considered to be a Mayim HaKavuim. But if it ate Lach Yavesh or Beit HaShlachim, if it ate even in this order, first Lach and then Yavesh, but it didn't come from a Gishamim watered field, it came from an artificially irrigated field, it's a Beit HaShlachim, or for that matter, if it ate in the wrong way, it first ate Yavesh, v'acharkach lach, even from a Sedei Gishamim, then you cannot be certain that it's a mum. In a mum, you have to be machmer and assume that it's not kavua. It would only be a mum if it's still there after eating first Yavesh, achiocha Yavesh, rather first a lach, and then the Yavesh. It has to eat Yavesh achar halach. That's the only, and that has to be from a field that was a Gishamim, and it's still there, then you have to assume that it's not going to disappear. And that is to go on for Shlosha Chodashim. The problem is that this does not seem to be true according to the Mishnah, because the Mishnah seemed to imply that either a Gishamim or a Shlachim is okay as long as it's in the correct order. Because Hotavayotanani, our Mishnah includes both. It says, Ochalach v'yavesh shel Gishamim, or Lach v'yavesh shel Beit HaShlachim, mashma that in either of those cases, this would be a test. No, you're misinterpreting the Mishnah. You've got to read the Mishnah the way we explain it. Surim Mechasra. It's as if it said like this. Ochal lach v'yavesh shel gishamim harezemum. So if it ate first the lach and the yavesh, and it was of a gishamim, then it's a mum. But if it ate even in that order of a Beit HaShlachim, then a no mum. Furthermore, continues the Mishnah, even if Gishamim Nami, Ocha Yavesh V'Acharka Chochalach, Eino Mum, Achi Ocha Yavesh Achar Halach. So therefore, the way that we had understood the Mishnah is not true. The Mishnah was not coming to discuss the only problem of Beit HaShlachim is if it's mixed. The problem of Beit HaShlachim is even in the correct order. So you have to split up the Mishnah and assume that the Mishnah is referring to the actual one after the other, and not the confusion. And therefore, read the Mishnah as if it says, Ochalach v'yavesh shel gishamim, that would be Ochalach v'yavesh shel gishamim in that order. That would be fine. And then we talk about, but if it was Beit HaShlachim, or if it was first Yavesh v'acharkach halach, then it's Ein Omum. And that equals precisely what it was that the Braita said. So that is basically what both the Mishnah and the Braita are saying. Eat it together, eat it in the wrong order, doesn't matter whether it's from the Beit HaBaal or the Beit HaShlachim. Eat it in the right order, which is Yavesh and then Lach, of the Beit HaShlachim, still doesn't prove anything. Eat it in the right order, which is Yavesh, following the Lach, and it's from the Beit HaBaal, then if it's still there, it's considered to be a mum kavua. And this is over a period. Lach v'yavesh means it's over a period of 3 months. Eini, says the Gemara, how can you say it's 3 months? V'omar Rav Eini Baravin Omar Rav Yitzchak Bar Hashian. Adar and Nisan is called Lach. Elon and Tishrei is called Yavesh. Last I heard, 2 + 2 = 4. Not 3. No. What he's saying is that part of Adar, that's what he's saying. He's saying that part of Nisan. In other words, the Adar is Lach. The first part of Nisan, Chatzi Nisan, is Lach. Elul, the Chatzi Tishrei, that itself is considered to be Yavesh. Okay, now, I don't quite understand, though. Are you identifying when the Tua was grown? Or are you saying when it actually ate the Tua? So, Iboilu, if it ate the Lach during the period of Lach, and Yavesh was by Yavesh, well, obviously that you're saying that would be fine. But is that what you're saying? Or are you saying Lach, you can eat the Lach via Yavesh, but could all be Bisman HaLach? So in other words, you have last year's Yavesh in the silo. Now you've got fresh. Okay, but you eat it all at the same time. Tashma. The Om Revita Barav and Om Revita Barav Shian. Ad Rav Nisan Lach El V'Tishrei Yavesh. Doesn't that mean when it eats it? No. What does that prove? Maybe he's just telling you when the peirot have to grow. That's all he's saying. Maybe he's saying the peirot of Elul and Tishrei, but of course you can give him those peirot from the silo in Adar v'Nisan when you have the new peirot. That doesn't prove anything. So I don't know. I don't know. And how much of this has to be eaten every day? Kama machilin oto? Om Rav Yochanan Mishum Rav Pinchas ben Aruba. One grow garret. Omar Rava, boy ben ma Rava, is this like a Wheaties breakfast? So it has to be, it's got to be in the breakfast or it's over the course of a day? I mean, we know breakfast is a very important meal. Yes, one grow garret. No, besides it's regular food, but it's got to have this stuff. So it's ki grow garret besu'udari shona, or does it need a grow garret in every single meal? B'chol su'uda v'su'uda. Let's say that we're talking about a su'uda rishona. That would mean that we are not looking at this as a foodstuff. We're looking at it as a type of medication. And therefore, you take it to the first meal. Okay, so then I got to know, do you take it before the food or after the food? You know, I mean, I didn't see the prescription details. So is it kodam achila? Or acharach. I mean, for sure it's going to help kodam achila. They always say take it before eating. But, I mean, could it also help afterward? Is it, so that's vade malele. Because that's like sama, that's like medication. I mean, you take it before you eat, you might get nauseous, but it's going to help. But la acharach ila mai. And what about drinking? I mean, you take this before you drink or after you drink? Kodem shtia la achar shtia. I mean, I understand that kodem shtia vare malele. I mean, that's like they give seorim, you know, and that has to be had before shtia. But la achar shtia mai. And then I want to know is kosher or mutar? I mean, what are we talking about? Does this animal have to be a free range? Is it free-ranging? Then, I mean, yeah, if it's mutar, it always is. It's always in better shape. So, vadi ma'alele. But would it even help if it's kashur? My. And what about, you know, the very important question of religion and prayer when it comes to these things, which turns out to be social issues. Does this animal have friends, or is it alone? Now, I mean, if it's got no friends, then it may not work, because... Yeah, absolutely. It's got a depressed immune system. It would not be a rye. I love this, right? So is it levado or im chavero? I mean, if it's got a good friend. This is great, huh? Im chavero, that for sure helps. But levado mai. Now, the question is also, I mean, is it living in an industrial area or is it outdoors in the field? I mean, is it living in a city or in the field? I mean, look, if it's out there in the field, I mean, that for sure that's good, right? Question is whether an animal could ever get well in a city. I mean, so be'ir mai. Boy Ravashi. Okay, let's assume that it's got to be in a field. Is Muncie a field or a city? So suppose it's a gina, but it's simuchala here. My. Teku. All of these questions are questions. Therefore, don't live in the city. Don't live in Muncie. Get out there to the countryside and make sure you have lots of good friends and always eat a good breakfast. Teku. Question, fascinating question over here is the Gemara essentially saying that if you can cure something, that is not considered to be a bum kavua? And this is a bit of a problem because, as Tosis points out, the barka that we're using is a simen. The mashma'ut is that it's a mum kavua. And yet the Gemara in Gittin talks about all types of refuas for a barka, which means that it appears from the sugya over here that something that could have a refua, even though it hasn't been murupah, is considered to be not a mum to shechban. So how do you explain that? The Tosef suggests that it is not necessarily the case. What we might be looking at over here is not a refua, but rather simply a bedika to see whether this is the type of mum that will be over at some point, even without our doing this. But you can't be sure. In other words, the question of whether it's a mum kavo or mum over, normally, I could see in the type of mum. But over here, I have no way of knowing. I mean, I don't have a lab to be able to test what microorganism is involved or whatever. So because of that, we've devised a test. It's not that the test is a refuah. It's that if it will respond to this test, then lamaisa would have gone away. That's the point. So it could well be that a mum that requires a refua but will not go away on its own is considered to be a mum kabua.
It's changing the refua, right? The refua is changing the situation.
Possibly. I mean, it's possible. We had the question before also was part of the issue of the high blood pressure question, where, as Tosis asked earlier, I mean, so why isn't it a mum without needing to go through the whole... Well, we have a very strange sugya. We have the high blood pressure. I now need to let blood in order to lower the blood pressure, which, by the way, actually does work, you should know. Even in modern medicine, that there's advantages in certain situations to actually let blood. But the question is, as Tosva says, so then, I mean, then it already has a mum. If it already has a mum, why can't I shecht it based on this mum? And yet, on the other hand, the Gemara is talking about that since it has this, so mamela, you really won't be over if you make a mum on it. And therefore, it would be okay even to shecht on the mum if, through the hakaza, you went ahead and did it. It's a very confusing thing. There, too, the issue is, does the fact, Tosis raises that possibility, does the fact that you could be make is it and take it away, is that considered that is not a mum in the first place? So this is not such a partial sugya to define what we call an actual mum kavua, the relationship of testing to medication, and the need for it to stop, be able to go away on its own. Not zoe do te eat chiskia vi keish lefnei Rebbe Gamliel biyavne shomar mishum ben Gamliel azaken kol she'en lo toch bekli cheres en lo achorayim v'chalika. And therefore, nitmatocho, nitmagabo, nitmagabo, nitmatocho, an absolutely mad statement. Kli cheres, betocho tolo rachmana. Eat leitoch, eat minle. Let leitoch, lo eat minle at all. On mitzvah ha'avin ochikoma. Ko she'en lo toch bekli cheres, the equivalent case in a kli shetef, en lo achorayim v'chalika. And therefore, nitmatocho, nitmagabo, nitmagabo, nitmatocho. So what the heck does it have to do with the klisheres? Just say, name a kosher ein lo toch beklishetef, ein lo achorayim lechalika. Hakamashmalan, the yesh lo toch, areo keklisheres. Ma klisheres nitmatocho nitmagabo, vo lo nitmatocho lo nitmagabo, av klishetef nitmatocho nitmagabo. What were you talking about? Shema klicheres, goli berachmana tocho. Klishetev, mi goli berachmana tocho. Ah, imetume dioraita, achinami. Hokabama eskina metume as mashkin, which is all the rabbana, but not. Klish nitma achorav bimashkin, only akorava tamein, but toho, ogno, ozno, yadav are all tahorin. Nitma toho, then kulo tamein. Why? Because look, miniraita ain ocho metamikli, ain mashka metamikli. It's all the rabbanan who degozim mishumashka zavazav. Therefore, shavio rabbanan ketuma dekliheres. V'lo shavio rabbanan ketuma miniraita denav shef klishetev. Why? Because of the rabbanan hekera. Wait a minute. If we need a hacker, so then yachi in lo tochnami, we have to be navid hakira. No, because kiva navid hakira, but yesh lo toch yedia that it's all that in lo toch is the rabbanan. In lo toch, but in lo toch is not even makabel tumah beklisheta. The yoraita you're telling me would be baki bulei tumah that we should be making a gzeira. I thought to me it is sakbina masak mitatem aleverekan. Avko mitato maleverekan. We're talking about hanach tochozel lemidrasot. Iyachi cheres nami. A midras bikli cheres. Rav Papa Amar, what's the problem? Magdeach godol shaninu. Wait, so what are you saying? The magdeach stam of Beit Shammai is zutre even from a sela? So, I mean, ain't yichle Rabbi Meir, but according to Rabbana, Michael Amema, but the Chachamim say that Rabbi, that Beit Shammai was referring to a Magdeach Gadol Shalishka, not to mention the fact that even I'll leave it to Rabbi Meir, it doesn't make any sense. Minech. Havilei Mikula Beit Shammai, Umichumre Beit Hillel, and we have a klal, the Tanan in Idiot Tanan, the Lotan. Lotan, it doesn't mention this in the list of the Kulei Beit Shammai. Omram Nachman, forget about the size of the drill. The question is the size of the sela. Sela niro nit shanino. And the sela niro nit, yes, is the size of Magdeach Gadol. But a sela stam is even smaller than the small Magdeach. Therefore, we have no problem of Beit Shammai being lakut. Haris shel ayin, shenit kev, shenit gam, shenit dak, or harebe inodak, tvalul, Chilazon nachash, inav, ezeu tvalul, lavan apasek besira, v'nichnas l'shachor. But shachor, sh'nichnas v'lavan, enomu. When you refer to the ris, what is the ris? Amr of Papa, Tura Barada, ina. Dak tvalul, tanu abana, dak mishuka is a mum. Tzaf enomu, really now. V'tanya ipcha. Lakasha, one is referring to in the shachor, one is referring to in the lavan. What? I thought we just said there is no such thing as a mum in the lavan. Sorry. I mean, one is about a lavan, a dok lavan, and one is about a dok shachor. The Omer Rabba Barbachana, Sachli Rabbi Yosha, the min Usha, dak shachor mishuka arez a mum, tsaf enomu, dak lavan mishuka enomu, but tsaf arez a mum, and the way to remember it, simanecha, is a barka. Chilazon nachash v'inav. So the chilazon, is that the same thing? It's the chilazon nachash? Or is that a list? Chilazon, o nachash, or inav. Inav, of course, is grape-like growth jutting out of the eye. Tashma, the Omer Rabba Barbachana, Sachli Rabbi Yochanan ben Elazar, Zakeda Achada Yabish Kunatena, Rav Shimon Yosef Lekun Yashmo, I managed to avoid in my whole life. Yomai lo avar to the fan. Pamachat avar to the fanab. Oy vavoy. Amali shev bini shev. Chilazon ze mum kavua. Lishkot alav. And this chilazon is what the Chachomim called the nachash. Va'af api shamru. Ein adam roe mumin la'atzmo. Avu more halakha la'talmidim. And then the talmidim can be murin lo. But wait a minute. I thought Rababam Ravuna said that kol talmid chacham shumore halakha uba. Only if kodim ma'aseh amra shomim lo. Vimla ve'en shomim lo. Yeah. Iyunami mora ubaya meikara. Ezeo tevalul says the Mishnah lavan apasek asira, not vice versa. Which means that the masnis in his money, it's only out going on lipeter ibiosi de tanya. And we have a machlokis in this issue. Lavan v'nichnas b'shachor or shachor v'nichnas v'lavan. Hareza muma lipeter Rabbi Meir. It's Rabbi Yossi who said, Lavan v'nichnas b'shachor, yes, that's a mum. But a shachor nichnas b'lavan is not a mum. She'ein mumim b'lavan. Omar Rabbi, time Rabbi Yossi, Dechtiv yatsa mechelev einemo. So you see, it's taraba de ena ikra, but it's not called einemo. Stoma lo ikra. Rabbi Meir, my taima. It's nothing to do with whether the lavan is a mum. The meaning of the word lotivalul is davar hamibabel atainayim. Is it mububal? Yes, thank you. Chavavar v'amayim akivuim. Both of them have to be kvuim. Now, eza chavavar kavua kol shishah shmonim yom. Mevchilani ben atingas omer, you got to check it three times. Potkin eto shlosh pamim betok shmonim yom. And mayim kivuim, you have to make sure that it's a mum kavua by a test. And a test is ochalach v'yavesh shel geshamim together, olach v'yavesh shel shlachim in any order. Oachala yavesh v'chakach alach, forget about it, even from the geshamim, in a mum. It has to be lach followed by yavesh of the field geshamim. So matin de mani Rabbi Yehudi, the Tanya. Chavavar kavua 40 yom, umayim akvuim 80 yom, the Rabbi Meir. But our Mishnah says 80 yom, the fairish for the chavarvar. Therefore, it's going like Rabbi Yehuda, who says, Rabbi Yehuda, chavarvar 80 yom. Now, how do we determine the mayim akvuim? Goes on the Braita. Achalach v'yavesh, shel beit habal, oh, we have Shabbat Habal, Velolach, Yavesh Shabbat HaShalachin, O Sha'achal Yavesh, V'acharkach HaChalach, Enumum HaChiyoch HaYavesh, Achar HaLach, and this is a period of 3 months. V'atarvayatinani, it says, Ochalach V'yavesh Shal Gishamim, Lach V'yavesh Shabbat HaShalachin, and neither of them are good. No, Chisur Mechaz, Ochitani. Ochalach V'yavesh Shal Gishamim, HaRezemum, Shabbat HaShalachim, you can't rely on. And even the Gishamim, at first, Achal Yavesh, Achal Kachlach, Eno Momach Yochal Avesh, Achal Alach. Then you say, Yeshlo Shosha Chadashim, Eni? Va Amar Ravidi Barovin, Amar Ravitsu Barashian, Adar V'Nisan is called Lach, El V'Tishrei is called Yavesh, that's 4 months. Adar V'Chatzi Nisan is Lach, El V'Chatzi Tishrei is Yavesh. Iboilu, does he have to eat the lach bizmana lach and yavesh bizmana yavesh? Or is it just a question of feeding the feed in this order? It could come from a silo from last year. So maybe he would eat the lach v'yavesh when he has lach available, but he could take the yavesh out of the silo. Toshma the Omer Vidabar Avin Omer Vitzabar Shian, Adar V'Nisan Lach El V'Tishra Yavesh. Mashma, they has to eat it in that time. No, why? Maybe the peirot of Elul and Tishrei, you are machilin alei ba'adar v'nisan when he has fresh, and then he can eat the older ones. V'kama machilin ato. Om Rav Yochum Rishum Rav Pinchas ben Aruba kirgro geret. Om Rav Aboi ben Ma'arava, is that a gro geret b'su'uda rishona? Odeimu b'chol su'uda b'su'uda. Im tibzulam b'su'uda rishona, and it's not just food, it's an actual medication. So then, kodem achila le'achar achila. Kodem achila for sure, it's malalei. That's like any other medicine. How about le'achar achila? My. Kodem shtia or le'achar shtia? I mean, of course, kodem shtia vale malalei. That's like feeding an animal saurim. But le'achar shtia, my. Kashur or mutar? I mean, mutar vale malalei. Kashur, my. Levado im chavero. Im chavero vale malalei. Levado, my. Be'ir? Boy Ravashi, if you're willing to say that it needs to be a sadeh, how about a gina, which is smuchala ear? Is that as good as a sadeh? Or it's got to be real country living, not suburbia? My. Taikum. That was the daf from the 12th cycle of the International Daf Yomi. Hold on, and you shall hear the same daf from the cycle 7.5 years ago, cycle number 11.
Today's daf is Daf Lamed Chet. And we got up to Chizkiyahu v'Yigash. Now if you recall, let's just go back a little bit because we have quite a ways yet to finish the issues on the daf here. we had a little bit of a problem yesterday because we had raised the question of whether the shiur of a nekev, which is the shiur of a kashina, was a kashina that's near yetzer the nifnas, or whether it's just the shiur of kashina exactly. Because of that, we got involved in a sugya that's really very much tangential to our Gemara. However, we went into the machlokes over your Bechan and Beit Hillel, we got the kisson b'shidro of the gugolas. Why did we bring that up? Because we wanted an example of whether we're talking about yetzer the nifnas, which we then applied to kashina, or not, which we would then apply to kashina. The way that we arrived at the conclusion that a shiur that's given, especially if you use the word mole, then it means yetzer the nifnas, was because we ran into what appeared to be an impossible difficulty in the way that the shiurim were explained in Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. Because originally we said that the chisaron begulgolos was aliba of kedeshinotam nachai. Beit Hillel said, we didn't say what that was. Beit Shammai said kamolay nagdeya. Then we said that Kadesh Yadato Menachai ends up being the shear of Magdea. But then we proved that the shear of a Magdea, Kamala Magdea Gadosha Lishka, is the shear of a Sela Nironis. I'm going over this in such detail because we're going to be needing this detail. Because everything I've mentioned to you, we're going to access again today. In which case, assuming, and later on we're going to question these assumptions, but assuming that the shear of Molly Magdea that was mentioned over here in terms of Kadesh Yenotam and Achai is a reference to the same Magdeach here as the Magdeach Gadol Shel Lishka, and assuming that the Sela Nironit, which is the equivalent Shir of the Magdeach Shel Lishka, is the equivalent of Kisela Stam, making those two assumptions, both of which the Gemara is going to attack later today, then making those two assumptions, we end up with Beit Shammai equaling Beit Hillel. Because if Kisela was the shear that Beit Shammai had said, and Kadesh Yenotam and Achai is Magdeach, and Magdeach equals Kisela, then they're saying exactly the same thing. Therefore, we explained yesterday that it must be, and this is what Tachlifa said, yes, absolutely, 100%, that's what it means. A Magdeach is actually a shear that even is Merames, because when you drill, you generally move the drill around in order to loosen the edges, you can easily withdraw the drill. So a drill bedavka means something that is yetzer the nifnas. Good? Now, we got a tangent of a tangent, because what Rav Tachlifa said was, don't even hesitate on this issue. It's 100%, and if anybody attacks you on it, just answer it up, because it's completely true, the same way that any attack, this is how Tosus learns, it actually is a little different, but Chizkiah the Ikesh turned out also that he was attacked initially in the Lashon, and he answered it. Rashi learns Chizkiah ben Avi Ikesh is just the fact that he wasn't attacked on the actual Psak, that he stuck with it. Obviously, the Lashon of Ikesh has got to be meaningful over here. I mean, the guy is called Ikesh, it's because there's an action with this Psak, that he needed to work out the Lashon, even though it wasn't Rashi. This leads us as a tangent of a tangent of a tangent now to understand why he was called, why he's the marker for this idea of sticking with it. Again, this is how Tosfos learns. It's not. Zo edut hayitne Chizkiah avi Ikesh v'sei Rabbi Gamliel b'Yavna she'amar mishum Rabbi Gamliel hazaken. So he was made that he had heard from Rabbi Gamliel hazaken as follows. And what he said was so ridiculous that he could have really been attacked on it, and instead he explained it and they were accomplished. And what he says was like this: Kol she'ein lo tok b'kli cheres, ein lo achorayim l'kalita. Any place where there is no tok on a kli cheres. Remember that the Torah mentions by kli cheres toko three times. Darsha toko tok, toko tok, toko tok three times. We had in chulin to tell him. Basically, all the dinim of kalim come out of that one word. He seems to be saying something absurd, which is that if it doesn't have a tok, of course, If it doesn't have a toke, it's not a kabbal tumah at all. But he says, if it doesn't have a toke, so then it doesn't have a bag. Meaning what? L'chalika. That's what we call today chalika. There are times, and we'll see that those times are very limited, but there are times in which we will distinguish between the front and back of a kli, not only in terms of being makabal tumah, which is a deraita in the kli keres, but it's only makabal tumah from its front, from its inside, not from its back. But there is a drabbanan halacha that mashkim or matami kelim, which we'll see later on where they made this gzera and why they made this gzera, and that is a very strange tumah because it's metame the back of kelim. You may remember this from Brochus, the Gabriel Kiddush, and so on, when you're supposed to wash your hands before being metame the yayin on the back of the becher, and so on and so forth. There, only the back of the kli is metame and not the inside of the kli, which means it won't be metame its contents. So what he seems to be saying is an absurdity. He seems to be saying if a kli keres doesn't have a toe, so basically, let's say you're using a flat, what do you call it, a challah board that's made out of cheres. You have a pretty cheres board. Now, it's got no inside, it's got no outside. So for convenience sake, we'll call the part that says Shabbos Kedesh the toe, because that's the one that you use to cut the bread on, and we use the other side, the akorayim. What he's saying is there's no din of being makhalik akorayim the toe. The reason I say this is absurd, because there's no Kabbalah Stumah B'chol on the Kli Keres that doesn't have a toke. So here comes a man, says something mad, and yet when the Kabbalah is Eidus and when the Farish is Eidus, exactly as you should make sure you do over here, because you said something that doesn't make any sense about the Ma'at. They are equaling the Tzela, which then equals the Tzela B'Shamay. So it's mad on the surface. And I'm telling you the Pirush of Magdeach and the Yetzi V'Nichmas, it's so clear, stick with it and insist that that's the trap. Just like we do over here. So since there's Ein Lo Acharayim L'Chaluka, there's no way to be Mechalik, the front from the back. Therefore, Nitma Toko, Nitma Gabo, Nitma Gabo, Nitma Toko, wherever it touches the tumah, the whole thing is Mechabo Tumah. Says the Gemara, this is crazy. What do you mean? Kharif B'Toko, Tolo Rachamana. I don't understand what you're saying. What do you mean if it doesn't have a toko and it's Mechabo Tumah from its back? Isle toch, it may lay. Only if it has a toch, can it become tame. Lest they toch, lo it may lay. Somebody is up the wall on this. Omer of Yitzhak Barabin, obviously, the only way to understand this is to say that kol she'en lo toch be klicheres, whatever would not be considered a toch by klicheres to be makabel tumah for klicheres, in the equivalent case of klicheres, so kinegdo v'klishetes en lo akorayim l'chaluka. So in other words, if you have a wooden challah board, which over there has no toke, but that doesn't make a difference, at least that's what we're assuming now, but that doesn't make a difference, then, since had it been a klisheres, we would not have called the toke to be the kabbalah at all. Now, this sounds a little bit crazy, which of course we're going to get into it, so now on the klishetes, it doesn't have an akorayim. It's all one thing. Either side is makabel tumah. First, a couple of trade words over here. Klisheta. Usually we use klisheta for anything that can be nishtap in a mikvah, as opposed to klisheres, which does not have tumah tira ala bishmira. However, Rashi insists over here that the real meaning of klisheta is only kli eitz. Which is amazing, because basically everybody else takes for granted we refer to Kli Matekes also as Kli Shetet. The reason he says that that's true is because it says the first of the Torah, V'chol Kli Eitz Yishatev Gomayim. So therefore we use the Lashon of Shetet. Tainez Taisvus, Umurak V'shutat Gomayim, is used on Matekes. So Shutat is Shetet. So we find the same Lashon by Kli Matekes. That's not what the issue is, the Stosis. The lashon of klishetef is kolo anything that has tire b'mitza. Rashi is troubled, and this is the reason he gives a whole drush of don't think klishetef means klimatecher, by the Gemara's next kasha, which is that if it's referring to a challah board, and it's kliates, then a kliate is not makabel tumah unless it has, it should say kliates, it has to have a base kibble. So you have the same problem with cliches in a different way than you'd have with cliches. So why would you call it cliche? Says Rashi, I understand. What made you think I was talking about cliches? But you should ask the kasha. Maybe I'm talking about klimatah. Must be that klisheta means cliche. Tosus sign is klisheta. If you say it's dumb, it means all type of kalim, including cliches that bothers us. Okay. But that's basically a semantic question, really. But we understand that at least it's including cliches. So now instead of talking about a porcelain challah board, we're talking about a wooden challah board, and you think that you've answered the question by explaining it that way. Now, later on, obviously, we're going to attack that too. So therefore, kenega v'klishet ha'en lo achorayim l'chalika, and memela nitmatocho, nitmagaba, nitmagaba, nitmatocho. Now this is a little bit of a crazy shot. If you want to say that something doesn't have a toch, you need to bring up klisheret. What did you say? A challah board that doesn't have a toch. It doesn't have an achorayim l'chalika. What do you say? If it had been made out of porcelain, it wouldn't be considered to be a toch. Man, is that a little bit mad to say that? I mean, this is not a better explanation. It's just as crazy as the first statement. So, lama limit it's why a bit klisheret. I don't understand what kind of answer that is. It has nothing to do with klisheret. Why don't you just say straight, name up, kol she'en lo toch, quickly, shetet, en lo achorayim l'chalika. Ah, because I'm trying to teach you something, aren't I? Now, to mashmalan, to yesh lo toch, harel quickly says, it's coming to teach me that if it does have a toch, then in fact it has a din of klicheres, namely, that makri cheret nitmatoko nitmagabo, but gabo, if we have nitmagabo, lo nitmagabo, we gave the same halacha to a klishete in that nitmatoko nitmagabo, but lo nitmatoko lo nitmagabo. We want you to understand what we're doing. What we're doing is we're saying, because we have found that the Torah itself is mechalik between gav and teich by klikeres. Obviously, the rabbanim can't make up something out of whole cloth. We're going to create a new tumah which separates between toch and gav. That's mad. Also crazy. So, therefore, what we're saying is, listen, we want to give you a model. We have a model. The Torah is mechalik between teich and gav. It said it's nitma teich and nitma gav, 100%. By klishet, that's the same thing. We're going to make a tumah to rabbanon, nitma teich and nitma gav. However, just like in the Torah, nitmagabo, lo nitmatoko. Actually, it's not nitmagabo, it's nagabagabo, lo nitmatoko. We're going to make a tuma also, which nagabagabo, lo nitmatoko. Aye, we're also going to be geizer tuma migab, but many can't be gabo tuma migab. The chilek comes from kli keres. So now you have a sense of why we did it this way. In other words, we're going to start making a korayim v'toch l'chaluka out of nowhere. So we should say nitma gaba lo nitma toko nitma toko lo nitma gaba, but we don't say that. We're saying that even though there's chaluka nitma toko nitma gaba, but nitma gaba lo nitma toko. So klicheres now becomes a model for a new type of tumor. Why we made this tumor? What we made this tumor? That we'll get to in a moment. Now, Bishleim and Klisheres, I still don't understand. Where would you come up with an ideal? I mean, okay, you're saying you're using Klisheres as a model. But Klisheres goli berachmana, toko. Klisheta? Where would the Torah ever machale between toko and gabo with klisheta? There's no such thing. There's no toko. Says the Gemara, of course there's no toko. Even Tumati Rice obviously would be crazy to say such a thing. Naturally, either a clear is tummy or it's tar. There's no such thing as a clear that's half tummy and half tar. And no, there's no such thing as being nogea and an aporayim that should make an afkamina legabi or any maga and a clear, wherever it is makabal tumor. We're not talking about a tumor of the arisa. We're talking about a tumor that we made up. How come I see the tumor is mashi, rabbona? Now, midiraisa, obviously, there's no tumor that comes from mashkin. Remember that mashkins, if you say the word mashkins, it's like saying earthling. Mashkin and earthling cannot be abatuma by definition, no matter what they touch. If you touch abiyabasatuma, they only become a rishon. And therefore, as the Mishnah says, it's not kli shenitma achorav b'mashkin. If you have a kli, let's say you had a wet kli, and your hands weren't washed, you touch the wet kli, That mashkin that got stomach from Yuryadayim, and it's in that theoretically it would be a shlishi l'tumo of Yuryman Rabbana, except we were days of the mashkin always pleasant in the Oishpil. Even so, it can't be the Kabbal of Kli. I mean, you're really pouring it on over here. Alpha Pika, and we made a tuma Achorayim, and we said the Achorayim is Tameim, but the Tok, the Ogen, the Ozen, what exactly the Ogen is? It's too short of an Ogen. An Ogen can be the part of a Kli. See if we have a nice Ogen here. This part, which holds things, turned upside down, there's a little bit of a base people there. It could be the Ogen. Or an organ is a built-up side, decorative side around the top. Either shot is true. And the ozen of the kli, or the yad of the kli, which is an extension, like you have the coffee pots, you know, but we'll talk about that kli charis later on. But in here, we talk about the tov, the ogen, the ozen, the adayim. All of them are taherim, but nitnat tocho, the whole thing is tummy. Why? This is the midiraita, b'chlal ain olchem atomically, they mash atomically. It was only a gzeira d'rabbonim. Why did Rabbonim make such a far-fetched gzeira? Because, you see, as opposed to hoyachlin, you have very common mashkin, which are actually avos atumah, except they're not really mashkin. They're body liquids that are metamic. So a zava. They have all types of liquids that are going to be matami. And that's matami as an avatuma. It'll be matami even kalim. If people get used to the idea that liquids are never matami kalim, so the spit of a zava or some urine, whatever, things, they won't even think about it. So their hands are wet, whatever. After all, it's only mashkin. So therefore, the Rabbanan wanted to sensitize people to liquids of tuma. So they made a takona. Problem was, once you would make that gezerah, this is an awfully common event. Understand that? You'll be metame things left and right, and people will think now that it's takatame, they'll end up burning truma, big issue, it'll be over an issue of your eyes because of your gzeira. So we have to be very careful when we make a gzeira like that, that everybody can distinguish ipso facto that it's not the horizon. How do we do that? By doing something crazy. So what do we do that's crazy? We say only the back of the kli is tame. We can't do something that's totally crazy because we can't make up new standards. Therefore, I'm giving you an insight into what we did. We took Kli Charis as a dugma, and we said the Torah was machalik between Toch and Gav. Let's use that chilek to stress the difference between the Arayt and the Rabbana, Unmash and the Rabbana, and therefore we will satisfy the need for the Gzera, which is the sensitization to Mashkin. At the same time, we will avoid any serefa of real tyrus midiraisa because of the mistake that someone would think that this is tumah d'rabbanan. And we have enough of the basis of the tyrus to utilize that distinction for pre-class. Essentially, I've wrapped all that information in the one little word that's this Yobani case. And that's the mitakesh. This is what it means. Now go figure out why it means it. It sounds crazy. It's as crazy as it sounds. So the Maestro was basically summarized to you a whole sugya by using that word kucharis. Hilkach shavur rabbanan ketuma the kucharis. The rabbanan, however, made it like the tuma the kucharis that it shouldn't be nitma achorav nitma tocha. The lo shavur rabbanan ketuma the right. They did not want to give it the din of regular mashkin. Of itself, the tumah d'rabbanan is an option, meaning of kli shetef, because tumah d'rabbanan of itself, of kli shetef, would not have allowed the distinction of al-korayim v'tok at all. There's no such thing. You can't apply a distinction that doesn't exist in the Torah. Why is this? Because other rabbanan can't carry a case for a listener for like kumah v'kachim. They want people to do an issur d'rabbanan, of srefa, of truma, tahira, of kachim, that are tahiras. And the male is how they did it. Says the Gemara, wait, so then Yahi Ain Lo Tok Nami Lami Nami Levekera. I mean, it says, so why wouldn't we, you're telling me that if there's no Tok, then we treat the Tok and Acharayim the same. Why don't we make that the equivalent of a Glyceris? So it shouldn't be a Makabo Tumor. I mean, so be consistent. I don't have to be consistent. Because Kivan Da'avdu had care of the Yesh Lotov, Yadiyah, they ain't Lotov to Rabbonah. People understand that because people are not that stupid. If they see that this is an entirely new concept of Tuma, once I make the conceptual Kiddush, they're not going to say, oh, so what about if there is no toe? So how come it's not consistent? What's the difference? It's a new Tuma that's Matami only Aquarii. Where does Aquarii in the toe? Obviously, I'm not pretending it's the Emmons Police Harrison people gobble Tuma at all. Okay, that part all makes sense. What bothers me, says the Gemara, is this Klishetev jazz. Because Klishetev, again, according to Rashi, means Kliates. According to Rashi, at least includes Kliates. How could you say that Klishetev, Emo Tov, the Klishetev, do you like the Barkibo Tumu? Who ever heard of such a thing? We know that Kliates is not Makabo Tumu if it's Pshute Kliates. Because the Torah Dafka compares Klishetev of Eitz to Sak. It says, Mikol Kli Eitz Osak. What is a Sak? A Sak, by definition, is a Sak. Something that holds something. So therefore, Jumi the Sak, being a Mas Sak, Mitatel Maleverekan. Afko Mitatel Maleverekan. So what are you telling me? Klishetev is B'chlam not going to be Mekabel Tumah. Answers the Gemara, Bahanuk Techozo Limidroses. We're talking about kalim that are ru'uyim for tumas midras. Tumas midras is a whole different type of, we're over there, the zog will sit on it. It's like a table. Sure, a pshutei kliyeis. It's not a kabbal tumah. But my typically, for the din of kabbalas tumas midras, we don't have, it doesn't come in the same parasha of kabbalas tumas kalim. It's a new din, kol asher yishev alav azah, yishkab alav azah. Okay. So for Midras, since it's royally yeshiva, it would be something that isn't royally yeshiva is not makabalist. And you know, you can say a challah board, the zov sits on it, that's not made for yeshiva. You can say bovenasem lachten, or anything, you say bovenasem lachten, and I'm makabal to Miss Midras. But a chair is makabal to Miss Midras. Okay. Table is makabal to Miss Midras. You won't hold anything.
Table,
what?
Made for sitting at the table.
You try telling that to my kids. You ever heard of such a thing? It would be dangerous. By the way, there's a whole different sugi here, which I just remember that we had before, that there's such a thing as kli eitz that are mishamshe adam. Mishamshe adam are also makabel too, but even though there's no base kibble, that's a whole different sugi. One doesn't want to get into over here. So, therefore, we're talking about those kalim that are shaykh to midrasis, because the machlokes we shown in whether we mean the emes only a particular kli that's right, or the quality of kli shetef is included in this gezeira of mashkin, because kli shetef at least are shaykh overall to midrasis. So we don't need the particular one that's shaykh to midrasis. That's the machlokes. So says the Gemara, wait a second. So then, if you're ready to talk about Midras, we might as well talk about Kli Charis also. We talk about Kli Charis. So then you don't have to buy it. But what's this Aquarii and the Tofu got to Kli Charis for Kli Midras? A Midras for Kli Charis. There is no Tumas Midras on Kli Charis at all. Now this, why this is true, is not so fussy. Rashi never heard of porcelain toilet porcelain. Therefore, he says Kli Charis by definition. Who sits on a Kli Charis? It collapses. It breaks. So things that are breakable, who's going to use it for yeshiva? But, you know, it's rather common nowadays to have Kli Charis indeed than are mekabel tumah. Rav Papa Amar. Okay. Rav Papa says, getting back to the original. Okay, so where are we holding? We're holding at the end of the parrot that a magdeach is yeshiva nichmat. And that explains the difference between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, which were made as a raya to us back on Kikar Shina. Alright? So the Papa says, I don't understand what the question was. What's the question? Beit Shammai Shir was a Makdeah, a concern in a Gulgolis. I don't know what kind of doctor you go to, but any doctor who's going to be using a carpenter's drill for brain surgery should be working in an Israeli hospital. What we're talking about, what we're talking about over here is a Magdeach Shel Rofim. A Magdeach Shel Rofim is a tiny thing. I don't understand the question. So what are you comparing? He said Magdeach Shel Lishka. And he's talking about Magdeach Shalosim. So there's no comparison. The Magdeach Shalalishka is indeed the size of a cella. But what are you signing? Of course, this doesn't make any sense. We'll ask this in a moment. Because if Beis Hillel was saying a Magdeach Shalosim, which, you know, maybe it's a remnant, Kadesh Yenotu Menachai V'yamud, but a Magdeach Shalosim, if you're telling me it's smaller, then it comes out Beis Hillel is Vakula. It's Vakula. What is the shear over here? So, the Gemara is going to ask in a moment. Says Rav Papa, what are you trying to say? Magdeach Gadol Shaninu. It says over here, Kimagdeach Gadol. So what does one have to do with the other? They're not the same thing at all. What was the question from? The case of the Ma'or, where a wall collapsed and had allowed Tumah to go from one place to the next. That was Uriah, that a Selah and a Magdeach are the same thing. So remember, that was also an aside. You brought that in order to prove that a Magdeach Shalishka is the same size as a Selah Nironit, and therefore, if that's the case, the Tumah is saying the same thing. But over there it says the Farish a Magdeach Gadol. And that indeed is the size of the cella. But we're not talking about a Magdeach Gadol, are we? It's much when a Magdeach Stam is smaller than a cella. So if you forget about whether it's Magdeach Shalose, it's certainly not a Magdeach Shalishka. Therefore, the Magdeach is indeed a different size than a cella. Well, it's only good according to Rabbi Meir, not according to Rabbanan. It's not. Bezel Magdeach Amru. What type of Magdeach did the Chamai say that a shear of Chisaron Begugolas will not be Metame? That is a shear Bekotan Shalofim. Did Rabbi Meir. Bechachomim Omrim. Begodol Shalishka. Hold on a second over here. Now we're back to trouble again. According to Rabbanan, the Magdeach that the Chamai Amrim Kamole Magdeach was a shear of Gadol Shalishka, which means that it equals a cella. Now Beit Hillel are saying Kadesh Yenotu Menachai, and you said that that shear is Kisela. Now we're back to the same question, that we're going to the same shear. So how did you help anything? Okay, I hear according to Rabbi Meir you help. By the way, you didn't help according to Rabbi Meir either. It doesn't make any sense now that you mention it. Because if you're saying a Magdeach Shalosim is smaller than a cella, so who's Lakula? But Shammai is Lakula because he's saying as long as there's a little tiny piece missing the size of a Magdeach Shalosim, it's not Matame. Whereas Beisel says, no, it's still Matame. Last I heard, the Mishnah lists in Idyas all of the places which are Kulei Beis Shammai and from a Beisel, and this is not one of them. And we know the rule is whatever appears there in Idyas is indeed accepted. Anything else, we're making a mistake in the Pirish. So I don't understand. Chlav, Rabbi Meir doesn't even make any sense. I'm going to say that, correcting Marvel, Rabbi Meir, Minefer. Even according to Rabbi Meir, it doesn't make sense. Because then it turns out to be Kule Beit Shemayim, Chumrei Beit Hillel. Va'anan, it's non, non, the lotanan, lotanan. Whatever appears in the Mishnah, Mikule Beit Shemayim, fine. But what doesn't appear, we don't trust. The way you're working it out over here, something is very funny. Amram Nachman, Rav Nachman says, that's because you made the assumption about Selah, didn't you? You assume that the cella, you don't need, that's the shear of the cella that Beis Hillel was talking about. No, not true. It says here, cella nironit. Cella nironit shanino is the shear of Magdeach Gadol Shalishka. But the cella stam is even smaller than the smaller Magdeach. In which case, Beit Hillel is saying cella, not cella nironit. I mean, nironit was very bombastic. We're talking about a normal cella. That's small, has anemis. So that cella is indeed smaller than even a small drill. And therefore, it turns out that indeed we have the cella being a kula, not a chumra. So if you put all of it together, the papa makes perfectly good sense. We're talking about Magdeach Shalosim. We're talking about a cella, not cella nirunis. And therefore, I'll just feel a little bit of Rabbi Meir. It's fine. The whole kasha didn't even begin. Harishal Ayin, we're moving now down the body, which is what we're going to be doing in the Seder of the Parak. We're moving down the body from the ears to the eyes. We're talking about an animal with long, flabby ears. So from the ears to the eyes, the next case we have is Harishal Ayin Shenivka, or Shenistak. So if you have the eyelid, which is, by the way, the reese can be used either for an eyelash, we say ayin, or for an eyelid. Over here it means the eyelid. If there is a, you know, you have pictures of the actual pogromi? Either there's something wrong with us, or showing with my eyes, or that picture is invisible. Do you see anything there?
Just an eye, that's all. Just an eye.
No. I would have thought that, but he's got arrows pointing to where the perm. You can't see the problems. Okay, anyway, if there's a nekev in the eye, which is not chaser, nidgam is chaser, nizdak we know, is a slit, or Harei be'eino, or if he has in the eye itself a dak, or it's valul, or a chilazon machas, which we'll see whether it's the same thing, or two different things, but a chilazon is a snail, and a nachash is a nachash. Ezer it's valul, when you say tivalul, which appears in the Torah, what is it tivalul? It's lavan haposek besira, v'nitnas b'shachor. Can I have that picture again? There's a machlokas rishonim on what the sira is. You'll notice, if you look at your friend's eye here, this is not a very good picture. There is first a dark circle around the colored part of the eye, which is the iris. Unfortunately, the circle doesn't show up here. In other words, you have the white of the eye, the vitreous body of the eye. Then you have, that's the lobe of an eye, which we'll discuss later, but there's no movement in the lobe of an eye, at least according to one sheet that we're going to here. Then you have a thin black circle. Look into the next guy's eyes. It's a thin black circle that goes around the iris. Then you have the iris, which is the colored part of the eye. And then you have the shofar shabayin itself, which is the pupil. Okay? What exactly is the sira? It's basically the wrap. In other words, the part that goes on. So here we have a machlokas. The Rashi learns over here all of the colored area itself. In other words, besides the shofar ha'ayin itself, besides the actual pupil, the entire iris is called the shofar shabayin. So the sira shabayin. So if it's nichnas the sira. If it invades the sira and gets into the shachar, according to Rashi, would mean that it's in the iris, not in the pupil. According to the Rambam, the sira is the black around the iris. So according to him, an invasive white area, even if it wouldn't cover the pupil, would already be included in its valul, because it was placed at the sira. On the other hand, if the shachar is nichnas belavan, enomun. If you have a mark, a black mark that's coming out that makes it appear that the iris is extending into the rest of the, or at least the shachar area extends into the vitreous body, then that's not considered to be a mum. Even though the word tivalul is mashmah bolalut, to use today, hit bolalut. You have an eye that's assimilating its black and white, so to speak. There you go. Non-discrimination, that's where it leads you. Yeah. So when you say reese, what are you referring to? My haris, I'm refoka, tura bra diena. It's the outside wall of the eye, meaning the eyelid. Dak tevalu, ton rabbana. Dak mishuka harezamun, saf inomun. When we're talking about a dak, which is a cataract type of growth, if it's sunken into the area of the eye, then it's a moon. If it's floating on top, then it's not considered to be a moon. What? What's on the opposite? There's a price that says just the opposite. That says if it's mishuka, it's not a moon. But if it's floating on the eye, as a cataract usually would, then it is a moon. No, it lokash, it depends. Ha b'shachor, ha b'lavan. And we thought this meant it depends whether it's on the dark part of the eye or on the white of the eye. What? Lavan? I ain't moving to lavan. I thought the rule is that the white of the eye, we don't care if there's growths on it. No, not on the white of the eye. The cataract itself, the growth itself. If it's dok lavan, then it has one halacha. If it's dok shachor, it has another halacha. That's what we're saying. And the simen is barka. A barka is lavan, and it floats. A barka is a type of growth that we talk about in the gabi other dinim, the gabi mumi, the gabi chamor, and now it can't see. The case of it is you rented a chamor and rented a ibrika. So it got something in its eye. Over there it's sap, it's not mushka. So the simen is lavan sap is considered to be a mum. Shochor mushka is considered to be a mum. Sap is not considered to be a mum. The Yom Rabba Barbachana sakli Rav Yoshe the min usha dak shochor if it's mishuka a reza mum. But if it's sap in a mum. But a dak lavan, if it's mishuka, is not a moon. But sap, raise a moon. V'simanecha, barka. The next case we had was chilazon nachash. Now there's a girsa that adds in the Mishnah enough. Iboilo. Is this one thing if chilazon is a nachash, or it's two cases of a chilazon or a nachash? Sashma. Yom Rabba Babachana. Rabbi Barbachana was saying over an interesting mice. Exactly, Rav Yochanan ben Elazar. Rav Yochanan ben Elazar was telling me that there was a Zakein that lived in our neighborhood. The Shimon ben Yosef and the Kunya Shmo. And I want you to know, I never had the chutzpah to even go over and say Shalom Aleichem to him. He was like such a gadol that I just was too scared to go say hello to him, even though he lived in my neighborhood. And Pamachas, one time, I was about to the front of him and he stopped me. Oh, boy, it's exactly what I was afraid of. So I figured, oh no, here comes the Bechina. Amali Shev Bini Shev. Oh, God, anything but that. And then he starts talking to me. And he says, listen, I want you to know that the Chilazon is a Munkavua Lishchaitavah. And this Chilazon. Here, I want you to look here and see. So he shows me this chilazon. And he says, and this is what the Chachamim call a nachash. And by the way, I want you to know another law. Apa pisha amru, ain adam rayam mumim le'atzmon. I want you to know that even though I'm not allowed to paskin what the din is on this behema, because then I'd be paskin for myself. But I could teach you. Avomera halacha le'talmidim. And then the Talmidim can paskin. You get it, right? The Talmidim marim lo. Yes, come on, wait a second. I thought the rule is Amr Vav Amr Vuna. They call Talmid Chacham Shemore Halacha Uba. A Talmud Chacham that's been teaching Allah. So if Kedem Maita Amra, if before a Maita happens, that's Nagea him personally. So then we trust him. But in love, if it's Nogea him personally, then we don't accept it. So it says, of course, only if it's Nogea him personally, then Ein Shom in love. This was the same problem that we had in Megillas Rus that Boaz had. He needed to offer Tov the opportunity to do the Yibam. Because otherwise, he wouldn't have been able to give over the halakha of Amoni v'lo Amoni v'lo Amoni v'lo Amoni. Because they said, sorry, you want to take her, then we don't believe the halakha. Hashem is passing with Tov. Brilliant. Then, of course, Tov refuses, and then everything is fine. So how could he, this is very, very suspicious here. He's telling me the halacha, but he's showing me halacha on the before he wants me to practice him on. So what kind of halacha is that? No. This wasn't the beginning of the Maisa. I mean, here you know this is where you came in. But La Maisa, this was a story that was going on for some time. He was teaching women. And lo and behold, instead of some book that has an awful picture, he gets an actual woman of Bukhar. And he's showing. That's what I was talking about. So he was Mayro Balalacha initially. So now he's saying, okay, now we have a Lacha La Maisa. We should be able to apply it. And if Nami, if the Lacha La Maisa would have come up first in his own animal, he wouldn't have been able to say it. Ezel Tevalul, says the Mishnah, it's Lava HaPosekat HaSirah. Says the Gemara, apparently the Mishnah is only going like Rabbi Yosi. Netanya, Lavan v'niknas b'shachor, or Shachor v'niknas Lavan, HaRezemum, did Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yosi is the one who says Lavan v'niknas b'shachor, HaRezemum, Shachor v'niknas b'lavan, eno mum, she'en mumim b'lavan. And that's exactly what our Mishnah says, so we're not going only with Rabbi Meir. Omarab, my time, Rabbi Yossi. Where do we see a remes to what Rabbi Yossi is saying? Kesiv yatzamech halav inemo. A rasha goes out the tarbuz raw from the fat in his eyes. Meaning he is so complacent. He is such a piggy that he thinks he can look at everything and it's all his. Everything's coming his way. Okay, but meanwhile we see the marshal is his bulging halav in the eye. The chalev of the eye. The chalev of the eye, yes, it's called tar, but it's called the fat of the eye, but it's not called an eye. And he's not saying the bulging eyes of the Russia. It's not the cornea that bulges, usually. It's not the pupil that bulges. It's the white that bulges. So if Dovid HaMelech wanted to refer to a bulging eye, he needed to use the word chalev enemo. That proves that the love on stam is not the eye, otherwise it's nice to stam to say the eye. So Tarbadein Ikre, name is Stomino Ikre. And Rabbi Meir, my time, why does Rabbi Meir say that's not sufficient? Because this is the Tarek uses the word Tevalu. Tevalu, if you look at the word, what's Tevalu? Tevalu Mibabelatay, nine. Something that confuses. So now you don't have that same line that you originally had, that divides between the Shachar and the Laban. Then it goes in either direction. What's that to mean? Further to the eye, a chibarvar and mayim, hakbuim, going back on both chibarvar and mayim. So now you have a chibarvar, which is speckled coloration in the cornea, which sometimes comes and goes, but which sometimes ends up being permanent. So if it's permanent, so then it's a mum kavua. The same thing is true of an eye that is continuously watery to the point that it makes vision difficult. Harmony. When we say a chavarvar hakavua, what's the shear? A zero chavarvar hakavua. Kol shishah shmonim yom. If it's been there for 80 days, then it's kavua. Reb Chanina ben Atigna says, what do you think that means, 80 days? You look at it for, at the beginning, 80 days later you come back and it's still there. How do you know it can disappear and come back again? Now, how do you know it's the same thing? Maybe it was a mumayver that left. Now it's a mumayver, it just came back last week again. LMI, what do you say? So you need to have somebody sitting there for 80 days straight to make sure it didn't go. So I'll explain to you what the pshat is. This, my man, this mum, it doesn't come and go instantaneously. If you split the 80 days and you have three bedikas over the course of that time, then there wasn't enough time for it to go and come back. That's the etiology of this particular disease. So Mamela, if your bacon is a shalosh karmis, it's a shmoni yom. So as far as, in other words, beginning, end, and middle. Of course, this is an agea, the whole sugya about the Ari Mikla and the sphere of the Sefer Torah. What does Mishulashim mean? Is it including the beginning and end bedikas? Correct? You remember the Shaila. Because we have from the Gvul to the first city as from the next city to the next city. Okay, you know, that was all Shaila and Gemara. So how come at the Gvul you have longer to go? Because you have another city at the Gvul. Same thing with the sphere of the Megillah, the sphere by Sefer Torah. We have the same discussion in Tzitzis and the other Rishonim, there's five different shitas Lagabi Kabir of Sefer Torah. And here Tosfos says it. Tosfos says the same thing he says there. So it means over here, beginning and the middle. So it's including the Bedikra that you discovered it with. Not that it's 27 days, essentially. Every 27 days you'd be Bedik, which is whatever others hold. So Bedikin, so Shalai Spamim, Betosh Shemonim Yom. And then you know that it's there the whole time. When we say Mayim Kivuim, what's the test for Mayim Kivuim? The test is like this. It's not a function of time. It's a function of natural treatment. This is the type of thing that happens to animals that are fed in unsanitary conditions, that are kept in barns, that aren't allowed free, that are given these with this ridiculous feed that they give them today. If you want to have a test of what this animal's eyes are really like, then what you have to do is, you have to allow it to eat. Lach v'yaveshel gishamim. Lach v'yaveshel shilatim is what we think it says. It's going to turn out that the mission is chasuri mechas. But right now, it's saying it has to eat first peiros from the rainy season and peiros from the dry season, or it might mean during the rainy season, during the dry season. All these issues are going to discuss. Of a field which is fed by natural waters, gishamim. We think it means or of a field that's irrigated, but the Gemara is going to say, no, adarav, it's chasuri mechas, the Mishnah actually is saying, but if it ate from a field that was irrigated, it's not natural anymore. Or, if you reversed it, oh, achal yavesh v'achakak lach, eino mum, that doesn't prove that it's a mum. It might just be unsanitary and unhealthy conditions. Ad sheyochal lach v'achakak yavesh, av gishamim is going to turn out what it means. Says the Gemara, so masisim ani revirim. Titanya kebarvar kavua, Arboim Yom, which is not our mission. Umayim Akavuim Shmonim Yom, which is not our mission, because our mission says it's not a function of time. The Mayim Akavuim. Give it Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Meir, Sevarvar Shmonim Yom. Mayim Kavuim is already much more complicated. Ochal Lach V'Yavesh Shel Baal, but Ochal Lach V'Yavesh Shel Beit HaShlachi, Osha Ochal Yavesh Rachakach Ochal Alach, and by the way, that's going to take you 3 months. So you can't really test in less than 3 months. Wait. The Mishnah said you have your choice of either Yeshramim or Shloshim, didn't it? It sounded like, or, and you said the Mishnah was going like Rabbi Yehuda, and now Rabbi Yehuda says the opposite, that if you eat Shel Beit HaShlachim, then it's not considered to be natural enough to cure it. Now, Kisur and Mechasa, the Mishnah is chaser. The Mishnah was saying, the test is Ochal Lach V'Yavesh Shel Gishamim. Still not cured? Harei Zemun. But Beit HaShlachim, then it's not a mum, not necessarily a mum. And even in a field which is fed by natural Gishamim, also, it's only if it first eats Yavish and then Lach. Then, 100%, I'm sorry, the opposite. If it's also Yavish, then it's not 100% a mum, so we have to assume it's Enumum Lishokit Lav, in other words. Achi Yoka Yavish, you have to first eat Yavish and then Lach, and that's going to take you 3 months. 3 months? Is that true? I thought the Brisa says, Vatanya, a Ravidi Baravin, Amr Yitzchak Barashian. Adar and Nisan is Lach. Elo and Tishrei is Yavesh. Last I heard, 2 and 2 is 4. This is 3. No, Ema Adar v'chatzi Nisan is Lach. Elo v'chatzi Tishrei is Yavesh. This is the Pshat. So it doesn't take you a full 4 months. So wait a minute. When you said Lach, you mean Lach bizman Lach and Yavesh bizman Yavesh? Is the Pshat. It has to be eating during the season, the things that are produced in that season, so that you have the certain types of growth that come when the field is very wet, and other times things that grow up when it's dry. Or Adilma Lach V'Yavesh. Adilma Lach V'Yavesh Bizman Halach. That doesn't mean that. In other words, you can eat even out of season as long as you're eating that stuff. You put it away now. Now you feed it to him. Tashma, the Omer Abiga Barav and Omer Abiyitzik Barashian, Adar Venisan is lost, El of Tishrei is Yavish, Mashbits the time. And then why Mashbits the time? It's telling you the time in which it grew. That's Dilma Tevi, the El of Tishrei. Maybe it means take the pears of both El and Tishrei and give a deed, Ba'ad of Venisan. I understand. I mean, you can't prove from there. That's true. All right, so we don't have a right. When you say it has to eat this, come. How much does it have to eat? Omer Rav Yochanan ben Shmuel Pinchas ben Aruba, it's a shear of a grogeret. That's has to eat. The rest of the time it may be eating junk, but it has to eat this. You have to eat it first, this, or it could be even after this. How exactly does this medicine work? It's eating types of things that grow in a natural field with natural rainwater in season, in that order of the season. the type of things that grow in a field in that part. What do you mean? Nutrition has an effect on the eye, of course. Well, you have to treat them for 3 months. So now, characters, yeah. So the shaila is like this: how much? After two garrets. Oh my Rava, boy, the my Rava. The yes, I saw you grow garret. This is dafka. I mean, you're giving me a prescription. You're not telling me how many times a day. You're supposed to write how many times a day. Is this dafka besuda rishena? We just got to start the day. Oh, Dilma, no, we're going to ask that. Oh, Dilma, the cost of the besuda. You're saying that you have to do it in every single meal. Now, if you're telling me it's once a day, okay, let's assume for a moment the prescription is once a day. Now, the shaila is, do I take it before the food or after the food? Is it kreya makila liyakra akila? A kreya makila body malad. I mean, a medication that's taken before the food is definitely not going to get, that's going to be more effective. It may hurt your stomach, but it'll be more effective. But that's the same like sama liyakra akila. But I need to know kisama I mean, but liyakra akila, I need to know what's the din if I feed it to him after he eats. Because he gets stomach pains from it. So maybe I feed him first his normal food, then I give him. Is that also okay? And now what about drinking? And you're able to take it before you take a drink. What if he only swallows the water? It's one of those kind of spoiled animals, you know. So the kaidim shtiya la'akar shtiya. So kaidim shtiya vade mali. Because I know this. Sa'ari is vade mali, but la'akar shtiya mali. Now the question is also like this. Does he have to be restrained when you're giving him this medicine? Or he's walking around. Now, for sure, things help much better when the animal is allowed to roam. So mutar vade mali. The shaila is, if he's restrained, very unhealthy, would this still help him if he's restrained? Then there's other issues. I mean, there's a social impact of medicine. I mean, suppose, by the way, this is all research that Mamish lately has been shown to be extremely important. Is he with his friends or he's all alone? So the shaila is, does the medication work even though he's thinking about himself all the time? And there he is, Nebuch, alone in his barn. You know, what's it going to help him at that point? Even lithium ain't going to help him. I mean, if he looks around and the world is miserable. Or maybe even that way would help. Look, if he's got a social life, this will make the difference. No question about it. Levado mai. But the shaila is, if he's all alone. Then the question is, I mean, in a city, sometimes nothing will help you. I mean, if the guy's got a fine natural farm, okay? So Besada will be here. I mean, Besada Bade Malala. I mean, he's taking the tuberculosis cure over here. He's out there in his beautiful sanatorium. I understand that might help him. But what about if he's in the city? In the city, it may be all over. So Besada Bade Malala, the ear mile. Boy, Ravashi. There are people who think that they can live in a city and make a garden. And then they say, it's just like living out in the country. No, the shaila is whether you can fool this animal that way. Even in Tzvon of the Sada, How about a gina that's muhava you? Would that count as a slava? Take you. We're not talking about sensitive souls. No, we're talking about Bilam Samar.
Does that mean this whole Egyptian cannot be used to
that? This is just an analogy.
You know, it's funny. I mentioned to you that Mamish Nafkamina La'aloch has become so novel in certain areas. Remember, we were trying to get kosher meal in California. We kept shuffling. We were never able to find a kosher meal. Every single animal that was shechted, I think it was a veal problem, was a problem. Normally there's no problem in veal at all. Crazy. Yeah, that's why you don't even have to be Vedic. On the other hand, you get these Argentinian animals where they used to let them free range. You know, now they're making a big deal, free ranging chicken and so on, the eggs of it, whatever. Mamish, you see, it really, truly makes a difference. At least for the chicken. I don't know for the guy who eats the chicken. But, you know, if you're going to be a chicken, make sure you're a free-ranging one.